Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David For on Monday, the 15th of December, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time, of course. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly quite firm. Japan, for instance, getting a gain of 5.21% in the Nikkei 225 index. China was higher, but off the earlier days' highs on another manufacturing downgrade. The European markets were mixed, mostly tiny changes on the day. Wall Street spent most of the day in negative territory following firmish pre-opening indications on the heels of Asia's gains, but opened weaker and was weak, as I say. Well, occasionally indices clawed back to break even. They were probably at their weakest at around 8:15, 8:30, but clawed back most of those declines to show modest losses as well. Government bonds, long-dated government bonds, were strong across the board. And in currencies, we had another big hit for the dollar in here today. That really is the big item, big news item on the day. Once again, we've got the euro up to 137. As I speak, in after-hours trading, we've had the U.S. dollar index close at 82.27. That's down another 1.37. And precious metals have enjoyed that background. Gold is currently at 8.40 as I speak. There's a couple of almost $3 off the high on the day. Platinum and silver also showing gains. Sorry, the voice is a little hoarse in here, as you can hear. I'm unable to shake a sinus condition, which has been plaguing me for a while. But before you reach for the violins, let me carry on, struggle on, I should say. Industrial metals were mostly a bit easier, but off the lows on the day. Commodities supported generally by the weaker U.S. dollar, but they couldn't all hold the gains. For instance, soybeans and corn fell back from some quite strong earlier gains, and so did crude oil, which had pushed up to $50 at one stage, but is languishing back at $44.76. as I speak. Okay, so what's going on here overall as far as markets are concerned? Well, for global stock markets, we can really divide indices into two categories. All the important ones are in ranging patterns overall. Now, some of those have had a slight downward bias since the mid-October period or October 10th period. Others have had a slight upward bias, but these are very much ranging patterns overall. That was in line with the Fuller Money forecast that we had seen a major selling climax back in October, that we would see lows for many indices in October, and where that was not the case on major indices such as the Dow, S&P and NASDAQ, the downside breaks were not maintained. I describe this as a reversion to the mean in terms of the 200-day moving averages, best seen on weekly candlestick charts. The other indices, a lot of the lesser indices, some of the smaller Middle Eastern markets, African markets, Eastern European markets, are continuing to drift into new low ground for the most part, or remain barely steady overall. Probably the best looking of the indices to date are the Asian, a number of the Asian ones, led by the China group. but they're not all that much better than those that we see in continental Europe and North America. So the best case scenario is that this is a base building process, and as I've said before, to start to question that technically, I mean, there are a lot of people who are questioning it just on the basis of the economic data, but I'll stick with the technicals here right now. To start to question that technically, we would need to see closes beneath the early December lows for many of these indices, and that has not happened. Now, that wouldn't be game, set, and match, but as I said, that would certainly technically question the base building hypothesis. It wouldn't be game, set, and match, as I've just said, because base building processes are very often characterized by several retests of the lows, and it isn't until markets can retest lows or hold up again or bounce again against the background of bad news that we really have clear evidence that demand is beginning to get the upper hand. Now, Owen and I have said for a long time that we felt the base building process would be lengthy. And there's some good reasons for that, of course. Fundamentally, the fear and concern over corporate profits, that's certainly a legitimate concern. Also, as many commentators have pointed out, and including ourselves, we have not seen this type of credit insolvency situation before. We have not seen this magnitude of debt deleveraging before. So all that would argue for lengthy base formation development process. There are also those who feel that markets will move much, much lower over time. You know, I'm posting an email today talking about the Q ratio, Torben's Q ratio, saying that shares may fall to a level where they're only worth a third of the of their replacement costs. Well, that could happen. That has happened, as it's pointed out in a quote from an article on some of the worst bear markets that we have seen, but it hasn't happened, and we haven't seen those extreme lows at the actual numerical trough of the bear market. What has usually happened is that markets are well off that trough, but investor apathy has been such that the valuations have continued to improve. That's in line with the secular bear due to valuation contraction that I've often referred to, and Owen has referred to over the last many years, most of this decade. As a matter of fact, we've mentioned it as a hypothesis, and it's a quite likely one in this environment. For a comparison, we last saw that in 1982. Now, the numerical bear market lows occurred in late 1974. And markets were well above those lows in the second quarter of 1982. I'm talking now in S&P or Dow terms, when we saw the actual lows for valuations. Again, that period was different from this one because interest rates were very high back then. They're very low here today, as we know. The fear back in the early 80s was very much inflation. The fear today is very much deflation. So the background factors are always different, so we shouldn't talk with too much certainty in terms of what's actually happening. I prefer to defer to the charts and look for the evidence, and the evidence that I see today says, well, we may be actually looking at early preliminary base formation activity. That case is not proven, but neither is it disproven. And to disprove it, we would have to see the major indices break beneath their lows to date. For most of them, those would be the October and November lows, and sustain those downward breaks. And if that happens, we're in a new ball game, to coin a phrase, but it hasn't happened yet. So I'm quite happy to say that the technical evidence suggests to me that this is potentially early stage base formation development. And why might that occur? Well, if people are willing to look beyond the trough of this economic slowdown, then they could be anticipating recovery. We know valuations have improved considerably, I think, particularly in Asia. We know about the stimulus packages, the ones that we've actually seen and the ones that we're going to get. And we also know that there are a lot of additional shoes there that are capable of being dropped, or skeletons to come out of the closet, whichever phrase suits you. In other words, that we can expect some more negative shocks, such as the Ponzi scheme, which surfaced over the weekend. Now, what else to mention here? I said that the most significant development we've seen in here today was what was also the most significant development on Friday, and for much of last week. It was weakness in the US dollar index. And with the euro doing particularly well, because that's the default reserve currency of choice. And the only time that it's not is, of course, when the dollar is in form and the ECB is not fighting aggressively to curb further appreciation of the euro. We last saw that when it was up at $1.60, but $1.60 to the euro, and the ECB succeeded in reversing that trend. But it's among these fiat currencies, it's always a question of which is least worst at any given time. And that means that an increasing number of investors are again moving back towards gold and other precious metals, that despite their volatility. I just take the volatility as a given. It's always been there. And I think it, except during periods of extreme apathy, and I think that we will continue to see that volatility. But in scary times, in times of uncertainty, and this environment certainly qualifies, then the attractions of gold become that much stronger. And from the articles we see, from the general change in sentiment that we see or hear, from the technical action that's actually occurring, from the brief backwardation that we saw in gold bullion, to this pronounced premium of gold coins over their meltdown value, all of these factors suggest that there is continued steady demand for the yellow metal and its sister precious metals, mainly silver. We haven't seen all that much demand for platinum yet, although the technical pattern's interesting. I maintain it's flatlined here in mostly just above the $800 level, and we are also seeing quite outstanding relative performance right now by gold shares. Now, Owen did a fair amount of good work a number of weeks ago on the extreme levels that gold shares had reached relative to bullion, and subscribers contributed to those comments as well, which we always always appreciate. And pointing out these extreme moves. And again, on a relative basis, gold shares have outperformed bullion coming up off those lows, and outperformed most other things in the process. And I don't think that move is over. So I have increased my precious metal positions in here today. I will endeavor to trade them because I expect a certain amount of volatility. But I'm talking about futures. I've increased my futures positions, but many investors hold a core unit in gold bullion funds, and I think that's a smart idea. Many investors also have gold shares. They are more speculative, but those moves or the retention of those shares is certainly justified by the extreme oversold levels that they had actually reached. So in my own portfolio, in my pensions and ISA portfolios, I have some gold funds and gold shares, and in as you probably realize, and I also have the some precious metal futures, including gold, silver, and platinum. And I think that's about it on an interesting day here today. Owen will be back tomorrow, so Fuller Money will have even more copy, which I hope you continue to find useful. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.